Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson on dub, feedback captures, resampled to audio, specifically for drum and bass effects. The core idea is simple, but the execution is where people either get magic or they get runaway squeals and a limiter pinned into misery. We're going to build a safe feedback return that you can actually perform, then record it as audio so you can edit it like a drum hit, tight, punchy, and ready to drop into an arrangement. First, quick mental model. Dub feedback in DNB is that moment where a delay grabs a tiny slice of sound, spirals it into self-oscillation, then you chop it, pitch it, distort it, and slam it back into the groove as ear candy. In a roller, this stuff is basically punctuation. It marks phrases. It creates tension before drops. It fills negative space without cluttering the drums. All right, step 1. Set up routing for a safe dub feedback loop. Create a return track in Ableton and name it RDUBFBK. This is your dedicated feedback playground. Now pick what you're going to feed into it. The classics are a snare or clap on 2 and 4, a single hat tick, a vocal one shot, or a mid-range stab. Just be careful with anything that has lots of low end, like a Reese. It can blow up fast in a feedback loop. On the source track, raise the send to the return modestly. Think minus 18 to minus 12 dB to start. We're not trying to drown the mix. We're trying to inject little sparks that the feedback loop can bloom into something bigger. Now we build the return chain. The order matters. First device, a delay. Echo is the recommended choice because it's musical and flexible, but the simpler delay device is also stable and perfectly usable. If you're using Echo, set it to sync. Start with a time like 1/8 or 3/16. 3/16 is a sweet spot for that rolling DNB movement because it creates syncopation without feeling like a basic quarter note throw. Set feedback somewhere around 65 to 85% for now. We will push it higher later, but not yet. Turn Echo's filter on. High pass around 200 to 400 Hz. Low pass around 4 to 8K Hz. This is one of the biggest pro differences. You generally do not want full range feedback. Full range feedback becomes harsh, boomy, and uncontrollable. Filtered feedback becomes character. Add a touch of modulation if you want some life. Small amount, slow rate, optional. A tiny bit of noise for dub texture, but keep it subtle. Indeed NB, noise can get loud in a loop. Next device. Auto filter. This is your dub sweep and your tone control. Set it to low pass mode. Start the cutoff somewhere between 2 and 6 kHz. Resonance around 0.6 to 1.2. Go easy on resonance, because high feedback plus high resonance equals sudden spikes, even if you've got a limiter later. Add a bit of drive on the filter, like 2 to 6 dB, for grit. Next, saturator. This is here for weight and control. Set the mode to analog clip or soft sign, and turn on soft clip. Drive somewhere around 3 to 10 dB depending on the source. The reason saturation is so good in a feedback chain is it rounds off the brittle peaks and makes the loop sound more tape and less laser. Optional next, utility. This is for stereo management. You can keep width around 80 to 120% and use bass mono somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz to avoid wide low-end smear. In DNB, mono discipline down low is not optional if you want your mix to translate. And last in the chain, limiter. This is non-negotiable. Put a limiter on the return. Set the ceiling around minus 0.8 dB. Default look ahead is fine. The limiter is your safety net so you can perform bold moves without fear of blowing your ears off. But we're still going to be smart about gain staging, because a limiter that's constantly working will flatten the tone. Quick coach note here. Gain staging inside the loop is everything. Aim for the return's average level to sit around minus 18 to minus 10 dB FS before the limiter. If you're pinning the limiter all the time, the feedback loses that satisfying bloom and starts sounding small and squashed. Use the saturator output level, or add a utility, before the limiter, to keep it controlled. In fact, do this now. Insert a utility right before the limiter. Map its gain to a macro called loop level. That macro becomes your how loud is this return in the world control, separate from how crazy is the feedback behavior. That separation is huge. Now let's make the whole return playable. Group the devices on the return into an audio effect rack. Now map a few key parameters to macros. Map macro 1 to the delay feedback. Name it feedback. Map macro 2 to the auto filter cutoff. Name it dub tone. Map macro 3 to the saturator drive. Name it dirt. And optionally, if your setup allows it, have a macro conceptually tied to how much you're throwing into the return, your throw level. In some cases, mapping track sends directly can be awkward, so we'll solve that with a clean DNB workflow, the dedicated throw track. Create a new audio track and name it Throw. Set audio from to your drum group or your snare track. Post effects. Post effects is important because you're capturing the sound as it exists in the mix, not some earlier raw stage, unless you deliberately want that. Set monitor to and if you want it always passing, or auto if you're recording clips onto it. Then set audio to sends only. This is the key. The throw track doesn't go to the master directly. It only feeds returns. Now raise the send from throw into RDUBFBK. Here's the workflow. You don't automate the snare track's send and risk messing up your main drum balance. Instead, you place little clips on the throw track only where you want a throw to happen. This keeps your main mix stable and makes throws surgical. It's also insanely fast for arrangement work, because you can literally sequence throws like fills. Now we capture the magic by resampling to audio. You've got two good methods. Method 1 is the classic fast approach, record resampling. Create an audio track called Capture. Set audio from to resampling. Arm it. Hit record. Then perform the feedback. Drop and throw clips. Push feedback briefly toward 85 to 95%. Sweep the tone down for that closing filter tail, and then pull feedback back before it runs away. Important note, resampling records your whole master output. So if you do this, either keep other tracks quiet or temporarily solo what you want. Great for fast jams, but it can be messy if your full track is playing. Method 2 is cleaner and usually better for this. Record only the return. On capture, set audio from to RDUBFBK. Post FX, arm and record. Now you're printing just the dub chain, like a stem. This gives you clean material you can mix later without extra stuff baked in. While you're recording, think like a performer, not like someone drawing automation. Dub feedback works best with push then pull moves. You inject sound, you let it bloom, you steer the tone, and you cut it off before it turns into a constant boring whine. If you have a MIDI controller, this is the moment to use it. Map a knob to feedback, a knob to filter frequency, and ideally a momentary button to something that stops the feed, like muting the return, or enabling slash disabling the send. Tap to inject, release to stop feeding. That one move makes you way more precise than long automation ramps. Now, once you've got audio printed, we turn it into DNB ready hits. Listen through the recording and find a few moments that feel like they speak. That could be a short metallic stab, a perfect little 1/8 tail, or a long screaming spiral that wants to be a transition. Consolidate the good moment into its own clip. Then do the boring but critical step, trim and fades. Add a tiny fade in, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, to avoid clicks. Then decide what kind of fade out you want. For groove ear candy, you might fade out in 50 to 200 milliseconds so it stays tight. For breakdown tension, you might let it ring for 1 to 4 bars. Another coach trick, if your prints are clicky even with fades, you can declick at the source next time by putting a gate after the delay. Set the floor to minus infinity, release around 80 to 200 milliseconds, and return somewhere between 0 and 50 milliseconds. It smooths the tail into silence so you can chop aggressively. Now decide how you want to warp it, if at all. If it's tonal, like a squeal or a note-like feedback, try complex or complex pro. If it's rhythmic and choppy, try beats mode. And if you want to go full instrument, you can slice it to a new MIDI track. Choose transient slicing for chaotic bits, or choose a grid like 1/8 notes if you want it super playable. Now you can finger drum feedback like percussion, which is honestly one of the most fun parts of this whole technique. Let's talk arrangement, because this is where it stops being a cool sound and becomes a production tool. One classic move, pre-drop tension in the last two bars. Print a feedback tail, pitch it up 3 to 7 semitones, then filter it down into the drop so it feels like it's getting sucked into the downbeat. Another, the snare throw on bar 4 of an 8-bar phrase. Feed one snare hit into the return, print it, chop the best little 1/8 moment, and place it right before the next phrase starts. If you do this consistently, your drop feels arranged rather than looped. Another, call and response with the bass. Print a mid-range feedback stab, then sidechain it to the kick and snare so it ducks like a synth stab. The feedback becomes part of the groove instead of sitting on top of it. Advanced options if you want heavier, darker, or more technical vibes. Try DNB timing sweet spots like 3/16, dotted 1/8, or 5/16. These timings tend to roll better than playing quarter note throws. Try a subtle frequency shifter after capture, or even on the return if you're careful. 10 to 40 Hz fine tuning, 5 to 15% wet. That adds a metallic, industrial edge without turning into sci-fi chaos. Try gating the feedback to the groove. Put a gate on the return or on the printed audio, sidechained from hats or ghost snares. Now the feedback pumps rhythmically, which is perfect for neuro-ish rollers. And if you want movement without obvious modulation, try a dual delay drift setup. Two delays in series, like one at 3/16 and another at 1/8 with lower feedback, with a filter between them. You get evolving density that stays locked to tempo. One more pro warning, latency and phase. If you record only the return and then layer it tightly with your dry drums, some devices can introduce small timing shifts. If the feedback feels late, nudge the printed clip a few milliseconds earlier. Trust your groove more than your grid. Now, quick mini exercise to lock this in. Set your project around 174 BPM, make an 8-bar loop with snare on 2 and 4 and rolling hats. On the throw track, place 4 single snare hits at bar 2 beat 4, bar 4 beat 4, bar 6 beat 4, and bar 8 beat 4. Record 3 passes into capture. First pass, feedback around 70 to 85%, gentle tone sweep. Second pass, briefly push to 90 to 95%, then yank it back. Third pass, darker tone, more saturator drive. Then extract 6 usable one-shots, 2 short stabs under 300 milliseconds, 2 medium tails about a bar long, and 2 long tails 2 to 4 bars. Clean the low end, remove clicks, and keep loudness roughly consistent. And that's the whole system. You built a control dub feedback return with delay into filter into saturation into limiter. You created a throw track so you can feed the loop musically without wrecking your drum mix. You resampled the feedback to audio and edited it into tight DNB ready FX hits. And you learned the big safety principles. Filter out low end, don't live at max feedback, and don't rely on the limiter as your only control. This audio version is shortened for playback.